You're listening to Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us on the hotline right now from SB Nation, covering college football, he's Matt Brown. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on. Good to be back.
Appreciate you taking some time to join us today, buddy. Now, I know there's a million, sub-stories we could get into, but today we want to get into all the big picture stuff as, you know, we're starting to get closer. Now we're like a month away, and now you're starting to taste it, and it's like, all right, getting ready for some college football. So wanted to take a few minutes with you here, kind of get through, the Power 5 conferences and maybe Mike Oresko's quote-unquote Power 6, and take a look at you know, who are the teams, you know, that we're going to see at the top of the conferences, who are the teams that are going to make waves, who's going to surprise us in a good way, maybe in a bad way. Let's start with the ACC. You know, Miami and Clemson won their divisions last year, each finished 7-1 in conference. Who are the teams that you like the most in the ACC, and is there a team that you think might be a real disappointment? Maybe they've got some higher expectations, or you don't think they're going to make it.
So the ACC is interesting because I think the middle class of the ACC, I think, could actually, you know, pretty substantially improve, but the gap between Clemson and the second best team in this conference is really vast. I mean, if you had to pick one team I thought would be the most likely to make the playoff next year, it would be Clemson. And a big reason for that is because they are trotting out nearly an NFL caliber defensive line next year. Their backup defensive line, you know, and tackles would probably be one of the dozen most talented defensive lines in the country. And so even though they have a couple of questions right now, quarterback, whether they're going to go to Kelly Bryant again, whether they're going to go hand the keys to their five-star true freshman, they may not need to really throw the ball very much because they're going to be able to win the field position battle and just destroy teams with their pass rush. Miami has a very experienced defense coming back. They, I think, were a little bit fortunate to be as successful as they were last year, especially with their turnover margin luck. That isn't something that typically carries over from year to year. And the rest of this conference doesn't really have too many experienced quarterbacks, which is something you look for in a conference contender. So I would be shocked if somebody other than Clemson ends up winning this year.
All right, let's pull down to the Big 12, or as we say, Texas and Oklahoma, and then a few angry teams. Oklahoma, TCU, top of the conference. Oklahoma State always seems to be in the mix, but then they die against Oklahoma at some point in the year. You've got Tom Herman trying to get the Longhorns back on the right track. Teams like Kansas State, West Virginia, who have been pretty good teams. They fluctuate a little bit up and down. And then, you know, Kansas and Baylor. What do you see going on?
Kansas will get plenty of fresh air and exercise this year. I don't know about winning too many football games.
They're
going to try hard.
When you see, like, Kansas, like, should they even have a football program?
Well, I mean, like, they have to. It's actually funny. Like, they're trying to spend a lot of money on their football program because they realize the Big 12 might not exist in 6 years, and they better have at least a garden variety bad team instead of a horrific one if they want to, you know, make sure they're going to have a conference home. As far as the conference this year, I think that should be really interesting because I don't think there's a heavy favorite. Oklahoma was able to, I think, paper over some pretty significant defensive sins last year by having one of the most effective college quarterbacks in recent, you know, history, and Baker Mayfield. He's gone. Some of their offensive line is gone. I think if West Virginia is ever going to make a run at a conference title, this year is probably the year to do it. You know, you're going to hear some NFL people talk about how this year's draft class at quarterback is pretty thin. But the guy that everyone seems to like the most right now is Will Grier, who's West Virginia's quarterback. He was a former Florida guy. He was really effective last year. And they return almost all of their offensive skill position players. And they should have, as far as the Big 12 is concerned, a relatively decent defense. They got a tough schedule. But West Virginia is definitely going to be near the top of that league. I figure they're going to be battling with Oklahoma, TCU, and maybe Texas. It might be one more year away from finally putting it all together. But I like their chances to at least beat Maryland this year.
Yeah, you know, UT is one that all eyes are on UT with Tom Herman now. We're going into his second year. how good do you think they're going to be?
You know, they're going to be a bowl team for sure. I look for them to be a little bit better, but this was a little bit more of a gut rehab, I think, than maybe we expected when Tom Herman came in. And they were a little bit unlucky last year, too, with some injuries. But the things that he wants to do schematically and the way his roster was set up with Strong aren't exactly the same thing. And they were a really young team. So it's not entirely certain what they're going to be doing at quarterback again. They were going back and forth between a couple of different guys. Their defense should be better. What's been weird for me is that I feel like it's been several years since Texas had a really effective running back. And that might be something that they're really going to have to look to develop if they want to take a step forward this year. I mean, it's an 8-win team. They're going to need to improve pretty substantially, I think, if they're going to make a run in a league title.
All right, let's. I guess we'll go down to the Big Ten. Now, in the East, you've got three Patsies, and then you have one team in Ohio State who had to fire a coach for some domestic abuse issues. You've got Michigan State, who's in the middle of a massive scandal around a disgraced doctor who was abusing hundreds of women. In the West, you've got, let's say, three Patsies, and Wisconsin and Northwestern. Is it weird to say Northwestern?
I wouldn't pick Northwestern to finish second in that division.
Not again, huh?
No. That was another team where I guess it was more of somebody had to finish higher up, and they got a quarterback coming off, I think, an ACL tear or some pretty substantial injury. Their big shot five-star transfer, Hunter Johnson, out of Clemson, won't be ready until next season. That's going to be the West. Is a division where I think it would be shocking if somebody other than Wisconsin won it. And I think we're all kind of accustomed to Wisconsin looking like a Wisconsin team, like, okay, you're going to have some relatively bland quarterback and an amazing running back and a bunch of, walk-ons from Stevens Point who they took a trade school and turned into, like, NFL draft picks, and they have all those things. But they had all those things last year. Basically, everybody's coming back. And what sets this Wisconsin team apart, I think, from the past other ones is they're actually much more explosive on offense. They probably have the second or third best group of returning wide receivers within the entire conference. And Alex Hornibrook, towards the end of last season, looked like not just a good for Wisconsin quarterback, but a good quarterback. They're not as talented as Ohio State. They're not as talented as Michigan across the board. They have just as much experience, and they're really well coached. Like, I would expect them to just obliterate their side of the schedule. I mean, we're probably looking at one loss during the season tops. And it's going to be really fascinating to see if they're able to come out and knock off the team from the East, because that's going to be another very competitive division too.
All right, we're talking with our buddy Matt Brown, SB Nation, covering college football. In the Pac-12, there was a story that came out of another network that was taking shots at Bryce Love because he dared go to class instead of attend media days. Is that like the most ass-backwards take of the college football season so far?
I want the words that I want to use to describe that are words I don't think I'm allowed to use on a family radio station.
Oh, they are not FCC friendly.
No, it's an extremely stupid take, and I feel like there's been a lot of really dumb takes about the Pac-12 over the last year. Because okay, like let's be clear, like the league had a really bad year last season. They were awful in bowl games. They missed the playoff again. Several of their typically strong basketball programs ended up either missing the NCAA tournament or getting unlucky and falling in the first round. But like I wrote about this on SBNation.com not that long ago. It was 4 years ago when we were like that same outlet and same people were writing, the Pac-12 might be the best league in the country. They had the best lineup of coaches. These things go in cycles. There are some disadvantages that the Pac-12 has because as a whole, the West Coast doesn't care quite the same way about college football as the Midwest or South. And that's fine. They probably don't have a team that's going to win a national title this year. That's fine. There's lots of really good football players. There's lots of really good teams. And the fact that one player had the audacity to go to class or that the team got unlucky in bowl games that don't really matter doesn't say anything substantial about this league. I think that's a big stretch too far.
What do you expect from Herm Edwards and Arizona State?
I think they're going to suck this year. I mean, like, I don't think that necessarily means that Herm Edwards isn't going to work out. Like, had fun laughing at his press conferences. Like every other person who writes about college football on the internet for a living, like the fact that he gets in there six questions deep and it's clear that he has no idea what Arizona State's mascot is, that's pretty funny. But you know, this team has a deficient roster, I think, compared to their division mates, especially their rival Arizona, who might have one of their best teams in years this season. And you can have a really skilled play caller and can't necessarily make up for that. And I got to tell you, a lot of the concerns that I had about the Edwards era were kind of calmed down a little bit around National Signing Day when, after all these jokes that he has no idea how recruiting works, he still signs like a top 40 class. So given a year or two, after they take a couple of bumps this year, they might be okay. Like I think that they're probably going to finish last in the South. They're you know, right up there with Colorado. But I wouldn't necessarily write off the entire era yet because he was bad at press conferences. He's not the first college football coach to not exactly sound like a Mensa candidate in front of a microphone.
What the day that you know, he got up there and the guy says he's with the Devil's Advocate, you know, the school paper, and he went on his Christian rant. Dude, that was hilarious.
It was really funny. It was really funny every time he would talk like, oh, you know, the thing that's different about college football is you have recruiting. Or the thing that's different about college football is you can't just cut a kid. Like, well, buddy, I could have told you that. Maybe you should have, you know, that would have been a nice thing to know 10 years ago. But I like some of the assistant coach hires that he's made. He's brought in a couple of blue chip kids after this last class. You know, we'll see how this year goes. There are other coaching hires that I'm less confident about than this one. I'll put it that way.
All right, real quick, Chip Kelly in UCLA.
I wouldn't expect too much this year. His offense is not really tailored to his roster right now. They have enormous problems running the football. They're one of the worst teams in the country at that. And, you know, he mentioned this earlier. This is going to be a fascinating subplot. Chip Kelly didn't have a great reputation of being very innovative when he was in the NFL. And since he's left college football, half that league has begun to borrow and steal parts of his offense, a part of what made Oregon really unique, whether that's, you know, finding ways to be really analytical about body practice data or nutrition. You know, these are things that Ohio State stole. These are things that USC has kind of borrowed from. And so if he hasn't figured out anything new, I think he's going to find that success in the conference is going to be much harder this time than it was the last time he was in the Pac-12. You know, UCLA is definitely going to be a year or two behind. I wouldn't expect very much from the team this year.
Matt, five teams in the SEC last year had winning conference records. Is that a product of parity, or is it a product of a top-heavy conference?
Last year, it was a product of a top-heavy conference that did not have creative coaches and had really crappy quarterback play. And this year, I would be a lot more optimistic about some exciting football within that league, because one of the things that happens when you don't have any experienced quarterbacks is the next year, you typically do. And you know, I think they're up there with the Big Ten as the league that probably has the most experience, the more most excitement at the top end there. I love the hire that Mississippi State brought in, was bringing in Joe Moorhead, who is, I think, one of the smartest X's and O's guys in the country that should be able to do some fun things. There's you know, Arkansas is going to be taking a bunch of lumps, and Ole Miss probably will be too. But I think this is going to be a more fun league to watch last year. This year than it was last year, when it was basically, you know, two teams with overwhelming talent advantages playing, you know, caveman ball and a bunch of other stuff that you don't want to watch.
Who's the best team in the conference?
The best team in the conference is Alabama. The most talented team is Alabama, unless proven otherwise every year. Their backups are going to be more talented than, you know, all but the top 20 teams in the country. Georgia's close. They're not quite there yet. They recruited better than Alabama did last year. And after those two teams, everybody's got some question marks. There's some that are going to be really fun. I'm going to enjoy watching South Carolina. I'm going to enjoy watching Auburn, but they're not at the level of those two teams.
I know he sounds like you know, the guy from The Waterboy, but you know, is LSU going to be able to improve on last year, or is you know, is Coach Ed going to be finding himself on the hot plate again soon?
Man, I hope so. And here's the one place of optimism, I think, if you're an LSU fan. They have the most seasoned quarterback option, I think, than they've had in a couple of years. Like, that's been LSU's Achilles heel, is they haven't been able to recruit and develop even an average quarterback, despite the fact that they have NFL first and second rounders on defense on the offensive line every single year, because they get Louisiana to themselves. They're bringing in Ohio State transfer Joe Burrow. He's a guy that I've been following for a long time. Burrow went to high school near where I grew up. I used to run Ohio State down in SB Nation. And Burrow is a really fun quarterback. He's somebody who I think that a lot of the comparisons that he was getting in Columbus were to Alex Smith as somebody who can run a read option, who can run for 600, 700 yards a season, but still be able to challenge teams vertically. And when you have LSU's size and speed at wideout, you should be able to do that. And that's what you hear in Ed Orgeron talk about, maybe it's going four or five wide sometimes, which you almost never see at LSU. So either that's going to succeed and their offense is actually fun for the first time in a decade, or it's going to fail in a glorious new way, and then, yeah, Ed Orgeron has to go somewhere else. And for the sake of college football, I think Ed Orgeron's fun. I love that there's a coach that loves this job, you know, because of that personal connection more than almost anybody else does. I'd like him to do well, and they're going to be fun this year.
Matt Brown covers college football for SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at MattSBN. Always appreciate your time, buddy. We'll catch up soon.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
All right. Matt Brown, SB Nation, covering college football. Wrapping it up next with a former NFL head coach who's a massive tool.